Okay.
Maybe the creepy voice.
Alright. Yo.
Yo, what's up? How you doing?
I'm good. You?
I've been good. Yeah, I'm doing splendid.
So.
Welcome back to Imagination Creates, everybody. And today we have a guest on. Sarah, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Hi, my name is Sarah. I'm a high school senior about to graduate from Florida, and I'm also the founder and recently, now not president, but the founder of a nonprofit organization called Simple Studies.
Yeah, that's Sarah. Esteban, do you want to start with your question? Do you want me to start with your question? Also, really glad to have you on. It's really nice to have you on today.
I'm excited to be here.
All right.
Okay. Basically, when in like what was like the whole like idea behind like starting this, the simple studies? What was the inspiration, the reasons?
So I actually started Simple Studies on May 22nd, so about of 2020, so it was about a year ago. And I started it because I've always really loved community service, but with the pandemic, I just hadn't been able to do any of it. And I was sort of, missing that source of happiness in my life. So I was trying to figure out what I could do from home. My family was in lockdown because I have a high-risk family, so we couldn't go anywhere. And I was thinking about communities that I thought needed a little extra help. And one of the communities that I myself am a part of is students. And so I started brainstorming how I could, as a student, help other students. And for AP exams that year, I'd made study guides for the four AP classes that I was taking. So I was like, wow, these are pretty great study guides. I'm sure other people might like to use them too. So I put them on a website. And I contacted some other people who'd taken other APs, and I was like, hey, would you mind making a study guide for this site that I'm building? And I got some yeses, some noes, but that's really where it started.
Okay.
That's a really good story. It's like it's really good that you wanted to help the community out and help other students.
You said you started this like what, probably when the pandemic started?
Yeah, it was May 22nd of 2020, so it
Oh,
was a couple months into the pandemic.
it's been like a year now.
Yeah, it was actually our 1 year anniversary 2 days ago because we're the 25th
Cool.
today. And that was actually my last day serving as president because I'm going into college. So since I'm going into college, I passed it down to Rachna, who you'll hear from in another episode. But Rachna is now serving as president, which was my role in the past year. But I'm still the founder, so I'm still around for support and direction. I just won't be able to do the day-to-day tasks anymore.
That's actually amazing. You started something and you're just gonna keep it rolling, and that's really amazing, you know?
Yeah, one of the things that I feel really passionate about is that a lot of people start nonprofits for their college applications, which bugs me in and of itself, but then they spend so much time working on it and then just ditch it and it stops creating impact. And I didn't create my nonprofit for college applications. I created it because I was bored and I really wanted something to do to make me happy. But one of the things that I promised myself is that it wasn't going to be one of those organizations that lasts the year that I have and then disappears. Determine like even if I can't work on it still is going to exist and it's still going to impact people, even if I can't be the one driving that wheel.
That's actually really good. It's a really good mindset, actually. A lot of people will end it because they want to have like control of it rather than send it to someone else and you just put it to the next person. That's really good. I wanted to ask, what is your goal for, Simple Studies? Where do you see Simple Studies going? Even if you're not the president anymore, where do you think, or where do you want it to go pretty much? So how big do you want it to get, or where do you want it to go, like along those lines?
My goal for Simple Studies will always be, whether I'm president or not, to reach the most number of students. Some organizations measure their impact by like funds raised or cans of food donated, but Simple Studies, I've always measured the reach in website users. And so every day, actually, I checked Google Analytics because that tracks how many people visit our site. Every single morning, I would check Google Analytics and see how many people have been on our site. Get really excited for every milestone, when we hit 25,000, 50,000, when we hit 200,000, 300,000, like every milestone that we hit, I had a cake for some of the big ones that I made myself. And the site users are really cool because when you think about it, each one of those numbers is a person who needed help and went to our site. And hopefully they found help on the site, and I imagine that most would, since there's a little something for everybody, but I really just want the number of site users to increase and to keep increasing, because that's really how we measure our impact.
That's actually a really good goal. That's a really good goal. Rather than worrying about your funds, you're worrying more about how many people you can reach out to and actually help. Me and Esteban kind of looked like into you, not in that way, but like we looked into like your Instagram profile and like everything, and we saw that you were an author actually, and we wanted to ask, what was your like, what sparked your first book? Like, what was the initial spark for your first book?
This is one of my favorite questions because I love this story. So I've always been a big reader. I'm that kid that goes to the library a lot and curls up in a beanbag chair. And so when I was in fifth grade, I was going through a hard time. I got diagnosed with a life-threatening peanut allergy, and then with anxiety, and then with appendicitis. And then I was in a wheelchair for a while because I sprained my ankle, and it was just a horrible, horrible year. I was 11 and I was going through all of this. These problems. So I was reading a lot because that's how I got started to escape. And when I was towards the end of the year, and I was just, I'm not gonna lie, like exhausted from such a rough year, I decided that I wanted to write my own book instead of just reading them. And so that past year, I read so many books that I just loved. So I thought about my favorite things in all the books I read. And those things were magic, time travel, history, and mystery. And so I combined those things into one concept, which is the concept of magical stone, the Stone of Decido. And basically the Stone of Decido allows somebody to change their own life, but they first have to fix three terrible events in history before they can time travel to their own timeline. So that became my base idea for the story, and I based it around that, basically my dream book that I as a reader would have loved to read.
And you published about like, I think it's four books?
Yeah, I've published two novels, One Chance and Two Secrets, and then a picture book for kids with anxiety called Cloudy Days, and then also a poetry book which came out last month called Windows and Mirrors.
I'm gonna check out that poetry book.
Thank you.
You're a whole inspiration, honestly. It's like you love helping people. Yes.
And
with everything you went through, you decided to go around and help more people. Even with the anxiety book for kids who are younger, that's actually amazing. Like, complete inspiration right here. Like, I'm actually inspired just by talking to
you. Oh, thank you. That makes me so happy.
I think we'll do one more little question and then we'll move on to the next
segment. We'll end the segment. I wanted to ask.
Yeah, you go.
Did you find any troubles during your, like, you know, publishing novels and starting Simple Studies? Did you find any roadblocks? Were there any roadblocks that you had to overcome?
Absolutely. And I would say there are one big roadblock for each of them, although there are several. For Simple Studies, the roadblock was from other people. The roadblock was from people, you know, not responding, people not doing what we, assigned them to do, like people just not following directions or completely ghosting us. And that was very, very frustrating because I kept thinking to myself, like, I'm giving you an opportunity and you're not taking it. Like, other people will want the same opportunity. So that was very frustrating, and some days it really got me down. But then I remembered, like, first of all, I don't know what's going on in these people's lives. If they're not responding, it could be because they don't want to do it, but it could also be because they're going through a hard time. So, you know, exercising compassion for other people that I've never met and likely will never meet was an important lesson. So that, you know, it ended up being okay. Simple Studies still suffers with that, but at the end of the day, like, there's nothing we can do, so not worth the stress. And then as far as writing, I would say the biggest roadblock was not other people, it was myself and my own writer's block and self-doubt and almost like an insecurity in some of my own writing. Like I would write a paragraph and I'd be like, I think this is good, but will other people think this is good? And so that was something I struggled with for a while when One Chance was being edited for publication, because I kept imagining people like reading it and I kept saying like, oh, what if they think I'm a bad writer because this is a horrible sentence, but like not being able to fix it. And writer's block, of course, I think everybody's had that, whether it's essays or novels or poetry or whatever. But I've sort of learned to get past that by writing for myself and editing for my readers. And that distinction, I think, made a huge difference for me.
Right. Do you have any advice for someone who would probably have that same idea that they maybe want to like make a story and like, what would your advice be for someone who would want to also be an author or make their first book of some sort?
My best advice for writers is to read a lot and write a lot. I know that sounds like very basic advice. It comes from a Stephen King quote, but the reason I am a writer is because I was a reader first. I learned what I liked to read, what kinds of books got me to flip to the next page, what kinds of words really created like this graphic imagery in my head. And I learned a lot through reading. But I got good at using all of what I learned through writing by writing a lot. I wrote a bunch of novellas before my first novel. I wrote a bunch of poems before my first poetry book. Wrote a lot of stories before my first children's book. And so I think that the lesson from that I've taken is reading a lot and then practicing what I've learned from that by writing a lot. And I would recommend that to any aspiring writers.
All right.
All right.
Okay. Okay, we're back. Hope you enjoyed that, Ed. Now we're gonna talk about, Sarah's gonna talk about her writing, give us some background on that, whatever she wants to say on it, and yeah.
What's your favorite novel that you wrote? What's your favorite book out of all of them?
This is such a hard question, because One Chance, since it was my first book, will forever hold a special place in my heart, and that storyline of that book, I feel like is the strongest, but the actual craft and the actual, like, you know, sentence structure and descriptions and all that, I feel like is best in my third novel, which hasn't come out yet, but will be coming out most likely this summer. It's called Three Quests. So I feel like the language and the actual craft that went to that one is better, but One Chance, since it was my first novel, will forever hold a special place in my heart.
All right. I wanted to ask something about it, about your poetry novel. I haven't read it, obviously. I do want to read it. What is it mostly about? Like, what type of poetry did you write? What inspired you to write the poetry, you know?
So a lot of the poems in that chapbook, which is, like I said, it's called Windows and Mirrors. A lot of those poems were not actually written for the book. They were just written because I wanted to write them. And those were my best poems. The poems that I wrote because I was feeling very real, very strong emotions and channeled those into poetry. Those poems will forever be likely some of the best poems that I've written. And so I wanted to share them with people because you know, I've made a name for myself in like a smaller way, but I've made a name for myself as a novelist, but I'd say on a day-to-day basis, I write more poetry than I write stories just because I only have one novel going at a time, but I can write several poems at a time. So I wanted to combine the past few years of what I felt were my best pieces and sort of share that side of me too, where, you know, for once I'm not writing about fictional people as much as I'm writing about myself and the people in my life.
Okay. How do I word this question? What were some struggles you had during the publication process? So during the whole, like, you know, because I know you have to, like, I think you have to get it, like, looked at first, then it gets edited, then it gets published, right? And so what were some struggles in that process for you?
So I would say definitely the hardest part of the publishing process is the editing stage. And the editing stage is not just somebody edits it, sends it back to me, and I look at it and it's done. It's a lot of back and forth. And I, you know, I'm 18 now, but when I was publishing One Chance, I was in eighth grade. So I was probably 14, maybe even 13 at the beginning of that. And so working as such a young person with people who are used to working with adults and used to giving large volumes of feedback was pretty difficult. I would say some chapters were just completely torn up, but it was in an absolutely good way. I just wasn't used to it yet. So taking all of that feedback and, you know, not taking it personally, not letting it change my own perception of myself as a writer, that was hard. But I realized eventually, you know, got it in my head that all of this feedback and all of these edits and revisions were all my editor and publisher trying to make the book as best it could be. And once I really got that lesson into my head, it became a lot easier. But it's still pretty tedious, I'm not gonna lie.
So earlier we were talking about writer's block. A lot of people that are in that little niche of creativity and doing, you know, all these creative things. How would you, what's your advice for people with writer's block?
Writer's block is so difficult, but it's so real and so valid. My best three tips, this is like the Sarah Frank technique, you could call it. So my first tip is to force yourself to write. And I know that sounds sort of crazy, but just forcing yourself, not letting yourself stop writing, cannot take your fingers off the keyboard or your pen off the paper. Even if it's awful, at least you have something you can edit, and that's better than a blank page. The second thing is, I joke around that it's a trademark technique. It's not, but it's invented by me. I call it the raspberry technique. And the raspberry technique is basically where if you get to a part where you don't know what to write, but you know what you eventually want to happen, you just don't know how to get there, you write the word raspberry, and you just hit enter a couple times, and you keep going. Finish the chapter or the section or even the book, whatever it is that you're working on, you control F and search for the word raspberry, and it brings you back to all the parts that are missing pieces, and then you can go back and fill that in. So that's really helpful for me. And then the third thing that I recommend is actually writing something else. So for example, if I'm working on my novel and I just don't know how to, like I'm having a conversation with another character, like my main character is, and I don't know where I want to go, I will go write a poem, maybe watch a little bit of Netflix, and then come back and work on it again. And normally, once my creative juices are flowing more, then I'm able to, you know, create more ideas and diminish the writer's block.
You ever feel like inspiration from other, you know, from whatever, from other books, from other shows? Do you ever feel like that inspiration could probably turn into too much replication of something, where it's too alike of something? You know, like for me, like I do like music producing, all that, you know, sometimes I'll like listen to like songs or whatever for inspiration, but then I feel like I'm kind of just trying to replicate it and kind of copying the idea of what they were trying to do. Like, do you ever get to that point where you feel like it's just not creative at all?
Yeah, there's definitely a fine line between copying and taking inspiration. And I would say that there's definitely something to be said for how hard it is to strike that line. In my experience, I don't necessarily pull like characters or places, I pull like general concepts. So for example, like one of the concepts I pulled, like for example, I loved Magic Treehouse growing up. Okay, Magic Treehouse was like one of my favorite series. Like I was obsessed with it, read all of them. And so when I was writing a book, I didn't make a magic treehouse, but I made an object that could take my characters time traveling back in time to historical events. So I wouldn't say that's copying, because like time travel is not trademarked to Magic Treehouse. But if I had done the very specific thing of having a time traveling treehouse, that would be copying. So I think it's a fine line, and that fine line, I normally walk it by taking general concepts and themes as inspiration and not like specific, you know, characters, objects, things like that. Like just keeping it very general.
Taking a few things out of it and creating your own.
Yeah, and combining them into my own concept. So for example, like with Magic Treehouse, right, I love time travel. And with Harry Potter, they have a magical stone. It has nothing to do with time travel. It's from the first book, and it literally not related to time travel at all. But a magical stone and time travel, magical time traveling stone. That was me clapping for any listeners who couldn't see that. But basically, you know, taking those two ideas that are completely separate, combining them into one idea, and that idea is now my own.
That's good advice.
That's kind of like how like the book that I'm kind of, the novel I'm kind of writing. If you know what the video game The Last of Us is, it's very inspired by that. It's like The Last of Us, and then I think World War Z, like the movie, is what it's really inspired by. Like the whole zombie apocalypse starts in the lab that two guys work in. So it's like it's inspired by actually two video games, Days Gone and The Last of Us, and one movie, which is, I think it's World War Z is what it's called, right? And so it's inspired by that, and like, yeah, like you said, I walk that fine line where the concepts are there, but I'm not like copying names or events or people and stuff like that. So I really understood that at point. I think that's all, honestly. Thank you for letting us have you on. This was amazing. It was an amazing
any
experience.
Any last things you'd like to say? Also, wait, we'll put, do you want us to put your socials in the description? We can do that.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. My Instagram is just my name, so it's Sarah Frank Author. And that's the main social that I use.
Yeah, we'll put it in the description. I'll give her a follow. Check out Simple Studies. Everyone needs to like everyone needs that help in school, so.
Absolutely.
Check that out. Any last things you want to say?
Thank you for listening if you made it this far, and I didn't bore any of you guys too much with my talking. And if any of you guys are aspiring writers out there, read a lot, write a lot, and you'll get there.
All right, thank you for letting us have you on. This was amazing. One of my favorite episodes right now, as of right now.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
No problem. And as always, for all our viewers, keep imagining, keep creating, and we'll see you on the next one.
Peace.